progressive politicians and politically correct assholes. PC Radio Worldwide at the PCRadioshow.com.
And the truth lives at redvoicemedia.com. Make sure that you get over there and check out the exploding network of reliable truth news as it actually happens without a spin. Also, subscribe to the exploding YouTube and Rumble channels. You can find me on Telegram. I'm on Parler, as well as still hanging out on Twitter. And that's because I believe that we need to be able to take the fight to the enemy right on their own platforms. A lot of people have said to me, Stu, you should cut and run from YouTube. You should leave the platforms of Twitter because they're communist. But listen, if we were in a war, which I believe that we are in a war right now, and you and I were in a literal foxhole next to each other, a physical barrier with weapons, and we were fighting an enemy on a battlefield with bullets flying everywhere, if I were to just pick up my rifle and say, no, see you later, and leave you stranded by yourselves, would I really be a patriot? Would I really be doing my duty? No, we have to fight them on their own battlefields. Cutting and running, fleeing, putting your tail between your legs and just bailing out is not part of the plan. Somebody who's familiar with that is Dr. Jane Ruby. She's a Washington, D.C.-based author, TV, and radio show host, and an international health economist. She's a conservative political pundit who's appeared on numerous radio and TV shows across America. I'm trying to be like this gal. Currently the host of Dr. Jane's D.C. show on the Exceptional Conservative Network. Dr. Ruby joins us now. Welcome to Patriotically Correct, first-timer, and thank you so much for being here.
Awesome to be here, Sue. Thank you so much.
Of course. Dr. Ruby, you're known for exposing truth. We appreciate that on this platform. Most recently, you exposed numerous Democrat governors who blocked their citizens' access to hydroxychloroquine through their state departments of health in an effort to destroy the Trump economy. Now, after Trump's CPAC speech and knowing that the president remains the de facto leader of the GOP, are you thinking that this weird obsession, this obsession that the left had prior to him, I mean, they tried to remove him before he was in office, they tried to remove him after he was out of office, do you think that this is going to continue?
Yeah, I absolutely do, Stu. Let's face it, if you really pay attention, the Democrats don't just want to win or when they cheated to win. Once they did, were successful in winning through cheating, they continue to try to annihilate their perceived enemy. So they just keep trying to take President Trump out and, you know, de facto us. Like when President Trump says they're not really after me, they're after you, which is all of us. That's what's happening. So they are, you know, just relentless in trying to take out the enemy, even after they've damaged the enemy, their perceived enemy. So it's really, really sad. You did mention that I exposed Democrat governors. If I could just say a word or two about that,
of course,
the way it happened.
Yeah.
I myself, you know, came down with the Chinese flu last March when it was new and nobody understood what it was. But I am also trained as a nurse practitioner. So I do have that medical background. And I looked for the treatments like hydroxychloroquine that has been around for 65 years, is safe in all age groups. And I wanted to just get a prescription for it. I know how to navigate my way around my physician, my hospitals. And I couldn't get it in Virginia, which made it very dangerous. What I discovered was that these governors like Cuomo, Pritzker, Murphy in New Jersey, all of them, Northam in Virginia, what they were doing very cleverly was they control your health through your state department of health. And what they did was they were very cute about it. They said you could only use HCQ for what it was approved for, which is on label. Now, doctors can prescribe for other purposes, which is considered off-label. That's not illegal. But doctors were refusing to do it because they were at risk for losing their licenses through the Department of State or Department of Health in each state. And these governors knew what they were doing. And they wanted the death numbers to go up. They wanted the sickness cases to go up. So I realized when I looked at all the Democrat-run states, those were the states who were blocking access to hydroxychloroquine. We now have other treatments. Would you take a vaccine for strep throat? Of course not. You wouldn't take that risk because you can take ampicillin or penicillin or some other treatment for it that you know is 100% curable.
Right.
So why are we pushing the vaccine And I know I'm going to.
I was
going to
ask you that. You know, do you know why the? So listen, there's going to be. It's likely that I won't be able to renew my driver's license. I won't be able to get a deer tag if I'm a deer hunter. A fishing license if I'm a fisherman. I won't be able to get an airline ticket booked. I won't be able to be in public places. I'm going to have to show my papers for crying out loud to get in and out of these places and to travel. Why do you think it is? Let's answer the question once and for all. Why is there such a huge push for everybody to be vaccinated? What is it? What's the plan?
Stu, if you could continue to ask that question, you'd be doing a great service to the American people and probably the world. It's very, the reasons are sinister. It is irrational. I'm partially quoting Dr. Simone Gold, one of the frontline doctors, who's also a friend and a colleague. It is absolutely irrational to take an experimental biologic. And by the way, this is really interesting. These vaccines, the Pfizer, the Moderna, and I believe the Johnson & Johnson, which is a different technology from the mRNA technology, these were not approved by the FDA, first of all, as vaccines. They were authorized. It's a very different legal word for the FDA. Mm-hmm. They were authorized as emergency use biologics. They're experimental, Stu. If anybody, any of your listeners, viewers are even remotely considering taking any of these vaccines, I urge you to read the informed consent. You have to sign an informed consent for any treatment. You do it every day in your doctor's office. I guarantee you somewhere in that informed consent, you are agreeing to be in a clinical human trial. What does that mean? These trials are not over yet. The Johnson & Johnson Pfizer trials, they don't end until 2023. And guess when the indemnity, the protection against legal action for these pharmaceuticals ends, these companies end? 2024. You are participating in an ongoing clinical trial. It's very dangerous. This was approved for emergency authorization, emergency use, based on what we call in pharma, and I'm in pharma development. You can look me up in PubMed. I've launched a lot of drugs in the United States. This was approved based on what we call an interim analysis. That means that they stopped the trial halfway through, they unlocked the data, and they gave it to the FDA, and the FDA said, okay, we'll let you use it for emergency use right now, which is a temporary condition. Why would you subject yourself to a new technology that's untried, untested? The next 20 years are going to be very, very interesting, Stu, to see what the long-term effects of these
we look at these are. Labels that are on a lot of things. We look at labels that are on sweeteners, you know, artificial flavorings, colorings, these things. These products were proven to cause cancer in laboratory animals, right? Then 10 years later, you see on your infomercial, on your broadcast news network or your fake news cable news network, these 3-minute long law firm infomercials. If you took this, if you did that, you're subject to millions of dollars and you could be entitled to lost wages and compensation. And if you lost a loved one, blah, blah, blah. This is where we're going to be 10 years from now. If you took the Pfizer vaccine, if you took the Moderna or the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, you're entitled to blah, 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 because you lost a loved one. They grew antennas out of their forehead. They perished, they died, whatever. I mean, this is tragic that people are being so indoctrinated by the mainstream media and by social media, these high-tech giants, which we'll get to them in a minute. But we deserve the truth. We have been subject to the biggest PSYOP coup d'etat that the world has ever seen. We have been through legitimate trauma.
Stu, I couldn't agree with you more. I'm going to take it even one step further. I went to a private security briefing down here in South Florida about 3 weeks ago with some intelligence officials kind of on the good guy side who drove down here. They wanted to be so under the radar. What they told us was that we are essentially in the middle of a Marxist coup of our country. And if you read the Communist Manifesto again, I know you all read it in high school, go back and read it again, because you need to learn what's in the second half after a Marxist coup. The stealing of the election and the use of the Chinese virus as an economic bioweapon against the country and President Trump was real. Those were only really parts of it. But I wanted to get back to the mRNA technology. Everybody needs to understand this has never been tested before or used in humans. In fact, the SARS-1 vaccine trials had to be stopped because animals were dying. So guess what happened with the SARS-2, COVID-19? These vaccines, they were given by, don't ask me why, Stu, it's insane in pharmaceutical research. They were allowed to skip the preclinical phase. Preclinical is animals and petri dishes. Clinical is the four phases of human, where humans are actually tested. They were given the right to exclude and bypass doing animal trials. This is so frightening, I can't begin to tell you. And we have no idea what the repercussions are going to be from a technology that interferes with the messenger, the communication portions of your DNA. You have to understand the way mRNA works, as far as we know, the mechanism of action is it tricks your body into thinking you have COVID all the time. So you have a hypervigilance system going on. That may be why people are experiencing these dramatic reactions, because their bodies are saying, whoa, I'm getting invaded again. I'm already on surveillance, but I'm getting hit by, you know, the same thing again, which is.
I want to stop you for a second, and I'm sorry, sure. But did you just say that the mRNA, this thing that's known as the vaccine, which by what you're saying, this isn't even really, shouldn't even be called a vaccine.
It was never approved by the FDA as a vaccine.
Yeah.
It's called freely a vaccine right now,
right.
As you said, by mainstream media, by fakes like Fauci, who are financially tied to the Wuhan lab, who make money. Bill Gates, who dropped out of college.
Barack Obama.
Why are these people encouraging us to do anything medically?
Did you say that this thing tricks your body into believing that you have COVID all the time?
Right. To maintain a surveillance that then when you get the vaccine, if you've already had the disease naturally, you're going to go into an overdrive in reaction, which is called antibody dependent enhancement. So it's really a fancy phrase for your body just, you know, danger. And it overreacts. The manifestations are severe cardiopulmonary reactions.
Now, just so everybody that's listening doesn't say, who is this quack? How does she know? Let's talk about your certifications here and how you know this stuff. I mean, you're a credible person saying these things, that you'll never get an interview on a place like the Fox News Channel, CNN, MSNBC, or any of the rest.
No, because they're bought and paid for by the CCP.
Yes.
Fox News has not been conservative since Rupert handed it over to the Suns, but that's another story for another show.
But you're a practitioner. I mean, you know medicine.
Yeah, I'm licensed as a nurse practitioner, which for the audience edification, that requires a master's degree. You usually take your courses in a medical college. You're licensed independently. We're not co-signed by a physician. We don't work off of a physician's license. We prescribe, we diagnose medically in a limited specialty.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even see a doctor. I see a practitioner most of the time. The practitioner does prescriptions. They do basically all the dirty work that a doctor is supposed to do, only for almost about the same amount of pay, but not quite. For all intents and purposes, they have similar education. Now, you worked in the Office of Presidential Correspondence from President Trump's inauguration until about 2019, right?
Yes.
Okay, you assisted the deputy director to the president in creating the new infrastructure to manage America's correspondence to President Trump. That must have been a fascinating job. Donald Trump is the most prolific president in the history of our republic, hands down, no questions. Well, of course, until Biden, you know, over 80 million people voted for this guy. He's more women voted for him than for Hillary Clinton. More black people voted for him than for Barack Obama. I mean, it was incredible the way that these people were so dedicated to him, all 80 million of them, that they set an alarm clock for 3:30 in the morning to get up, you know, and get out and vote for this guy. It was incredible. President Trump's approval ratings higher than post-impeachment, post-office, and they continue to rise. Does this indicate that the level of enthusiasm behind this America First doctrine is real? How does it show the rest of the world that Americans are going to fight back, essentially? Do you think that's what it's doing?
I hope it does. I really believe that the issues upon which President Trump were elected are still alive and well. He just articulated them for us, and we all, the America First movement, gathered around him. You know, we are larger in numbers. I hope that people do rally, because as I said to you before, these intelligence experts have warned me that we're in the middle of a Marxist coup, and we have a short window of time. I don't know if that's the rest of this year or whatever, to reverse this and to to keep things in check. There are things we can do. We obviously are not going anywhere until we reestablish election integrity. I mentioned to you before that I was in Virginia. I put my money where my mouth is. I left last August, literally after 10 years in a city I loved, and I moved to Florida. So I'm on the DeSantis team down here. We are so lucky.
It's a great team to be on.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he is pushing for election integrity. Nothing is going to change in this country unless you all push in your states to remove Dominion internet-connected machines and remove that. We have to outlaw mail-in voting. There were actually a lot of people down here who ran for Congress and lost while the state went for President Trump, because there was some election fraud at the local level. And I witnessed it. I tried to call attention to it. We had drop boxes. I know these people, when we looked at the final counts, they won in the walk-in voting. They won on the absentee ballot voting. But when the overnight and several day later mail-ins came in, they lost their races. These red candidates lost their races. So we still have a lot of work to do, Stu, in every state, but especially the five states that were taken down by the CCP.
We're talking with Dr. Jane Ruby. Fascinating conversation. Get her book, by the way, A Sea of New Media, available everywhere. Well, available at the communist Amazon and also newly now Barnes & Noble. So go there and get it. In your book, you document the rise of alternative media, citizen journalism, independent press. It's the only way to really get any truth in the land of mis and disinformation out here. I got a strike on YouTube. I can't post there for a week now. And with the YouTube shadow banning, I had another video too. I interviewed somebody, and within the first 3 days, the thing skyrocketed to 100,000 views. Mm-hmm. Right as it got to 100,006 or so, bang, it flattened off. And for the last 2 weeks, it's only had maybe 300 or 400 views. The thing should be at over 500,000 right now. I mean, this isn't anything that I've done or that you've done or that my interviewee did. This is YouTube. This is them showing how badly they suck and what it is that they're really doing. With the deletion of platforms, the radical left, big tech, and mainstream media attacks on people like you and I, how do we continue to expose this truth and make sure that our message has at least a chance of being seen or heard? Do you cover that in your book?
Yeah, well, the book was sort of covering an era of the emergence. So I probably have to do a sequel to how, you know, how to overcome how we've all been punished as, you know, new media, citizen journalism, things like that. I myself, as you said, I'm a victim. I've had things removed. I had a 30,000, Twitter following, which, you know, wasn't the biggest on Twitter. But when you get into those levels, you start to hit their algorithms. And I had quite a reach. And I was banned by CARE National. That's a topic for another day, as well as, you know, some organizations. And I knew I was over the target. I think with all due respect, you know, I love President Trump. I still do. I work for him. I've met him. I love his policies. But I unfortunately think he left a lot of power on the table. What do I mean by that? When he had the power, he could have used, done something with 230, Section 230, and really taken down the power of these tech companies, because they ultimately took him out. So, you know, so now he's on the outside of that. So what can we do? I think we have to keep calling attention to this. We have to demand better action from our legislatures. You know, we don't have the courts, Stu. We learned that in the theft of the election, right up to the Supreme Court. I'm sorry, but we don't have the courts right now.
No.
And we have Republicans that are heavily compromised. They are owned by the CCP, like the Republicans in Georgia who aligned with Stacey Abrams to steal the election in Georgia. So what can we do? We've got to primary rhinos out, because they are sabotaging just as much, at least the Democrat. When I see a Democrat, I know what their agenda is.
Yeah.
When I see these Republicans, they're don't kid yourselves. They're taking us out as just as much as every Democrat is. So we've got to primary these rhinos out. This is not just a phrase, but rhinos, establishment GOP, are just as dangerous as the institutional left.
You know, one thing that I've promised my listeners is that the goal here is to choke out every remaining America First, Judeo-Christian, God-fearing, conservative, Republican voice that's here. And people like you and I, they know that they can't be effective. We've got values. We were raised in a way where our core, our soul, our heart is for America. We are true patriots. We love our country. We embrace our individual liberties and our freedom, and we will fight for it and die in a pile of spent shell casings if they come for it. So they're not going to come at us like that. They'll try to silence us. They'll do all these other things. We'll fight back, whatever. But to further their agenda, to complete the plan, they must attack our nation's and God's most precious gift, which is the young and impressionable minds and ears. Now, you hold two doctoral degrees. One is in education. The thought of indoctrination used to be fringe, but it's happening. It's mainstream. So what can parents with conservative values, parents that believe in the structure of the nuclear family, Judeo-Christian, God-fearing parents, as I mentioned, do to hold teachers accountable in public school settings? Are you concerned, essentially, with the long-term effects that today's social justice warrior mentality of educators will have on our future as a country?
Yes, I am. Thanks for that background, too. I mean, from a national standpoint, the worst thing we ever did was hand over education to the federal government. It's nowhere in the Constitution. It has no place being managed by the federal government. The federal government provides states with about 10% of their funding, but they make 100% of the decisions. This is very dangerous, particularly in a Biden installation. I don't say inauguration or admin because I believe he was installed, behind electrified barbed wire. On a local level, what parents can do is start to take charge, demand that students be able to go back into school, take down these ridiculous plastic partitions so they don't think they're living in this dystopian school world. Children were never vectors for this disease, nor were they ever on the radar for high levels of infections or cases. Children don't get the flu very often. It's very rare. So with that said, I would say take hold of your regional and local school boards, get on those boards, put pressure on those boards. For a time, depending on what area you are in your state, you may need to move your children into private schools. And I know that's very expensive for people, but at least those schools have been up and running. I know if you look at some of the models that DeSantis has set up in Florida, children and teens have been back to school since last August, and they're doing great. And they're not behind plastic barriers. They're not wearing masks in many of these cities. But the red areas of states, the local red areas must coalesce also. That's what you can do maybe sort of on a statewide level. So I've given you some ideas on the national level. We pressure our government to get education out of the federal government. Locally, start to get involved or you're going to get swallowed up and your children are just going to be another generation of the Franklin School.
Man, I could keep you for an entire week, much less an hour. I mean, you know how this radio thing goes. We've got to pay some bills and do some breaks and stuff. But Dr. Jane Ruby, very fascinating. Get her book, A Sea of New Media. Will you come back again sometime and talk to us more as we fight back and try to keep our republic here?
It would be a pleasure, Stu. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Dr. Ruby, very interesting. Scary stuff. But you know what? We have to face it, and we have to face it head on. The powerful conversation continues as Kevin Jackson joins us after the break. We're going to talk about racism. Oh my gosh, racism. Everybody's racist. Stick around. Don't go anywhere. My name is Stu Peters. On this platform of truth, folks, I will never stop truthing. I'm not afraid. I will never waver in my search of facts, in my search of truth, and then in my exposure of the same. I promise you that. We're going to talk with Kevin Jackson upcoming in the program about different ways that we can fight back against this cancel culture because they truly do want to cancel all of us. You and I, conservative, Trump-supporting, pro-police, Judeo-Christian voices of America, patriotic voices, America First movement voices, they want to cancel us. They want to see us disappear. They want to talk about how we will never live or work again. Our kids won't be safe in school. They will threaten. They will intimidate. They will scare us or attempt to. One of the ways that we can hurt them is in their pocketbooks, because if we take money from them, we take power from them. If we take power, we take influence. If we take influence, we take control and compliance. We have to be committed to hitting them where it hurts. And one way that we can do that is by benefiting other patriotically veteran-owned companies. One of those companies, Verve Forever. Now, I am a customer and a spokesperson for Verve. Verve is a CBD company that's owned by a United States veteran, a patriotic America First voice named Tim Klund. Tim Klund is the founder and CEO of Verve Forever, a CBD company that guarantees the highest quality CBD at the most affordable prices. Now, CBD can do a lot of things in your life. It can help you with mental issues like anxiety and stress. It can help you with physical issues like joint pain, ligament pain, muscle pain. It can help you with arthritis. It can help you with migraines. It can help you with post-traumatic stress or ADHD. There are so many different things that CBD can do in your life in a positive way. And if you're already up on the CBD game, then you're ahead of where I was just months ago. But if you're not doing business for your CBD with a veteran-owned company, trash those people and check out Verve. You can find more information on Verve Forever at stewpeters.com. That's Stu, S-T-E-W, like the stuff you eat, stewpeters.com. Scroll down just a little bit. You'll find Verve Forever. There'll be a logo there with little CBD bottles. Those are the oils there, but there's all sorts of creams. There's pain patches. This, I'm telling you, Verve is an incredible full-spectrum CBD company that has made a tremendous difference in my life, and I promise it will make one in yours too. Go to stewpeters.com for all the information on the veteran-owned, patriotically-owned Verve Forever company. CBD in your life. Highest quality, lowest available prices. Verve Forever. More information at stewpeters.com. Stewpeters.com. That's stewpeters.com.
Attention, liberal snowflakes. Caught you listening again.
Well, you happen to have caught me in a moment of self-pleasure.
Stewie and Richie. The patriotically correct radio show is on the Warrior Radio Network.
And welcome back to the program. As you know, live broadcast weekdays, 6 p.m. Eastern on iHeartRadio. The station of search is Mojo 50Radio. Make sure that you subscribe to the Exploding Rumble and YouTube channels, as well as follow me in Telegram, on Twitter, and on Parler at Real Stu Peters. The truth always lives at redvoicemedia.com. The cancel culture was the focus of CPAC and needs to be our focus as we fight back to save our republic, our First Amendment right to free speech, and our freedom of expression. The freedom to create a future worth living for our children, a future that embraces freedom and liberty. Kevin Jackson knows all about this. If you liked him on Fox News, you'll love his radio show. Kevin tells it like it is. So he calls lying skanks what they are. Even if it costs him his job, Kevin speaks the truth regardless of politics, and he will never bow to the politically correct structure. That's why he's here on Patriotically Correct. A first-timer here. Thanks a lot for being here. We appreciate it, Kevin.
My pleasure, man. I love that intro, too. Good stuff.
Well, it's all true, and this is where the truth lives. So we will never self-censor. The cancel culture, you're a victim of it, or they intended to make you a victim. You will not be a victim. You're fighting back. And off the air, we had a real great conversation about all of this. You have some tremendous ideas, and my audience wants to hear all about it.
Well, let's talk about victimhood for just a second. You know, so I get fired from Fox, and of course, because I tweeted. That the Kavanaugh accusers are lying skanks. And I stand by my tweet, by the way. And everybody's like, oh, poor Kevin. You know, well, I shouldn't say that. The left were like, you know, ha, 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 you know, you have a job, you're going to be homeless and all this. And it just goes to show you how little they know, how little they think about the type of tigers, the animal instincts that we have to survive. Leaving Fox was not my problem. It was Fox's problem. When I was at CPAC, Stu, I don't know how many people I ran into. I did a quick ad hoc interview for China TV and a couple of others. And I was bringing it because, you know, I bring it every time. I'm going to tell you exactly the way it is. And a guy walks up to me and he says this, I so effing miss you on Fox. And I started cracking up because he was like, man, who says it like you say it? I said, it's not going to be the guys on Fox because they don't want to get fired. They don't want to be a part of cancel culture. I don't give a crap about cancel culture because you can't cancel me. But my fans love me. We control our destiny and our network, and it's not going to happen. Now, is it happening in the real world? Yes. By the way, Stu, you could use a Coke, man. You are pretty white right now. So
yeah,
I had to bring one.
A Woca-Cola. Yes, please.
Right. Think about the lunacy of that kind of nonsense. But look, there's so much good news happening. And what you're alluding to, what we talked about off air, are these things that you have to notice. You have to be able to read the signs. I talk to my listeners all the time, the people that follow my work. And I'll give you an example. And you had one as well. So we've got the Golden Globes that happened. I tell people it's a bunch of rich elitists, mostly white elitists, giving themselves trophies. And then telling you how great they are because of how many trophies they've given themselves. So what did Tina Fey say when she announced that she was going to be hosting the Golden Globes with her friend Amy Poehler? We're not going to talk politics. Please. She was begging us, Stu, please come back. Hollywood misses you. You know why Hollywood misses us? Because we put a fatwa against them and we said, we're not going to watch your crap anymore. You mentioned the one about the NBA commissioner coming out and making the announcement that, hey, we're done with this Black Lives Matter crap, which, by the way, is nothing but a bunch of racist drivel that everybody knows, because all lives matter, not just Black lives. And you know what? Why he did it? He gave us an excuse as to why he decided to do it. But the real reason is, and I'm saying this to your wide and varied audience of Coke drinkers, and hopefully not anymore, you responded. You said enough is enough. I'm not going to watch your drivel. I'm not going to watch this game played by a bunch of elitists, mostly Black guys, who do nothing but complain about a life they know nothing about. The things that they complain about, you know, Black Lives Matter, hands up, don't shoot, all a bunch of lies. When a cop pulls them over, you know what they want? They want their autograph.
They want confrontation from the other side as well. It bolsters their social media platform. It bolsters the narrative. It makes them
They're
a martyr. They are. They have to have this platform. They get paid millions of dollars, Kevin, to play a kid's game. In what other country can they go and do this and then complain and bitch and moan about this so-called oppression? It's right. Mind-boggling to me. Why doesn't the NBA commissioner go start something over in North Korea or maybe China or maybe, the former USSR? Well, because you can't. In Venezuela, you will never succeed, because the minute that you say anything that doesn't align with the regime, you'll be held. You'll be thrown in a concentration camp. A FEMA-like organization will come and grab you. You'll be deprogrammed. You know, and then reprogrammed or executed. I mean,
but here's what's worse, Stu. I get, look, if you can't speak because, you know, somebody's silencing you for legitimate beef, I'm all for free speech. And I get that. The problem with these leftists, and particularly these Black leftists, is they're spewing lies. Black people are being killed crazy by cops. And, you know, cops like they're hunting Black people.
Yeah.
We get stopped by cops. We are not getting killed. You know who's killing us? Us. So that's the disingenuous nature of it. And that's what really pisses me off is, look, if you got a legit beef, if a cop shoots somebody wrongly, by the way, I don't care what color, I want the cop held accountable. But when you get yourself killed like Michael Floyd or Michael Brown Jr. or George Floyd or some of these other clowns that are out there doing it, then you know what? I'm not going to be part of that party, that pity party that says, oh, Black people are being hunted. Here's what you can do. Stop resisting arrest. Throw your hands up, say, take me down, call my attorney, you'll live. But if you want to fight, you're 6'8" and you're on fentanyl and you die in the hands of a police officer, and I can see the footage where the dude is not throwing racial epithets at you, do not try to make it a black-white issue.
Kevin,
and that's what they do.
Hold on one second. Intern boy, is Mr. Jackson here talking about, like, facts? Is he saying that if you don't resist the police, you have a good chance of not dying? Okay, I just wanted to clear that up. Intern boy he put off the fact alert button over here that a great way to not get shot and killed by the police is to not resist the police.
Yeah,
seems like a novel idea. Yeah,
if you tried, it might actually work.
Biden, is he putting kids in cages now, or is this what is this that's going on down at our southern border?
I can't get on the internet, so you're gonna have to talk to me on my phone on that one.
Man, I tell you, this is the hypocrisy, the lunacy from the left, and the canceling of any truth. For example, I have this strike. I've been talking about it today on the program. I have this strike on YouTube because I was targeted for hate speech. I gave the definition of what a white supremacist was, and I said that, hey, in schools now, there's a principal who's actually sending home a diagram, a sphere, that describes your whiteness so that you can better identify how white...
whiteness report. I've seen it.
Yeah, of course. So that you can learn how to become a critic of whites, and then eventually...
Oh, you need to be an abolitionist or a traitor.
Yes, yeah, we need to get rid of whiteness altogether. As a matter of fact, when I'm done with the program today, I should immediately repent, and then I should be angry with my parents for procreating, knowing that they were going to have a white baby. I mean, this is just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, you apparently, Stu, you missed a checkbox that said you could grow up with crackhead Black parents instead of the white parents that you grew up with, right? Look, I look at this, the idea that we talk about racism, and in the old days we were talking about legitimate racism, you know, the water cannons on Black people, the dogs being sicked on us because all we wanted to do was become part of culture. just become part of the fabric of America. Now, you know, the racism is abject, in your face racism against white, and particularly white men, because you toxically masculine, misogynistic guys out there, you need to be taught a lesson.
Of course.
The world has been your oyster for far too long. Well, look, America loves the alpha male. That's why you and I have our shows, because they love and adore us. And by the way, you're as handsome as I am, Stu.
Hey, that's why I get the ratings.
That's right, baby. But they do. They want the alpha male. The alpha male is the man who conquered space and the next frontier. He's the one who's going to conquer the oceans and understand what's under the water. He's the one who expanded across this great country known as the United States. And while there were some people that maybe didn't get the best deal, the indigenous people, I would tell you, if I was an Indian and I heard a Comanche professor talk about this, he says, look, we were a warring culture and the white guy came and he beat us up. And he built something that we couldn't have built ourselves. He built something better. So stop complaining. I say to black folks, look, I don't know about you. I don't want to live in Africa. I've traveled to 22 countries in Africa. I know from Ancestry DNA where I'm from. I have no intent of going back. I like what we built here. And I don't even care who built it. If it was white people, if it was pink tutu wearing Guatemalan midgets, I'm still happy to be American.
Hey, and if I identify that way, who are you to judge? You know, when people go to the zoo, are they running towards the sheep exhibit or are they going to see the lions? Right. I mean, come on in. Here's the lions right here. So how do we stop this nonsense? Okay. So you've got some great things going on here. We've got, the Flick Fest, right?
And, yes. So honoring. Yeah.
Well, walking away from these people,
absolutely.
Prove it is what you said to me on the phone earlier.
Yeah, so look, this is the, as bad as it is that we got the big cheat that got Biden, you know, I call him Captain Demento, put into office, and Donald Trump on his own now. As bad as that was, it was such a wake-up call for the conservative movement to say, look, guys, you think you can reach across the aisle? You think you can turn the other cheek? Let me tell you something. I'm a fighter. I got 4 black belts because I ain't a pacifist. I will absolutely get in your grill. And I'm going to tell you, it took this big cheat of 80 million people who voted for Donald Trump, and it could be more, that said enough is enough. But what did it do? We were all, you know, slaves to Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that. Now we've got Gab, MeWe, Parlay, and all these others. There's at least 7 or 8 who will let you post whatever you want.
We've Yaku Boyans has free space now as well. I mean, there's all kinds of different alternatives.
Multiple ones that are out there. I'm a aficionado of PolitiChatter, but there's many others. And by the way, if you do go to PolitiChatter, make sure you put in KJN, hashtag KJN, so they know you got it from me. But the point is, all these different guys are springing up. What happened in media? Forget about ABC, CBS, and NBC. We got the cable news networks, Fox and MSNBC, et cetera. And then we went away from them. Now we've got OAN, we got America's Voice, we've got Newsmax and others that are springing up, Newsy, many others that are going to tell the truth about what's in the media. But what else do we need to do? We need to teach Hollywood a lesson, the same way that the NBA is now asking for us to come back, the same way that the Golden Globes is begging us to come back. What will Hollywood do when we move away from them? So what we do in my brand is we go after the things that we should be moving off of. So we made the flickfest.com, which is like a Netflix. And we said, look, guys, we're going to give the independent filmmakers a shot. Come over, put your films up. You be the judge of if you like the site. I think it's spectacular, mostly shorts, but we have full length motion pictures as well as music videos. Now, we did it because I put a film out in 2018 called Bleeding Blue. Hollywood did everything they could to stop this film because they said it was pro-cop. It was truthful cop, not pro-cop. We had a mafia cop. We talked about bad cops and a whole host of other things that were, quote, anti-cop. But we also told the truth that these are human beings, mostly good people. And Hollywood didn't want me to put it out. So I said, you know what? Never again. Well, I have this problem. So I'll build my own distribution site. If we start supporting our own efforts, we will do great. But if we keep doing the same thing, how many people do you think, Stu, have Netflix, barely watch it or don't watch it, pay $15 a month to a left-leaning, a site that doesn't care about your ideology, they don't care about giving the little guy a break. How many people?
I mean, millions. So,
millions.
Yeah.
Millions. We charge a third of what they charge. We have movies on there, I promise you, will make you cry. You've never seen them because they're people that do the work and don't. Hollywood has kept them, you know, under wraps. So go check it out. So anyway, that's one way that we say let's push back.
Let's talk about the rest of the ways. Don't buy tickets to an NFL football game. Don't buy tickets to an NBA basketball game. Don't go to the PGA Tour when they're wearing BLM crap all over their shoes. Okay, because we know that that's racism. We know that it's fake. We know that it's a lie. Hands up, don't shoot. Never happened in Ferguson. George Floyd would have died that day whether or not he had contact with Derek Chauvin or any of those other cops on the streets right here in Minneapolis because he had lethal fentanyl and meth amounts of substances in his system. That was proven by the medical examiner. I mean, the list goes on and on. Breonna Taylor, all these people, she was involved with trafficking drugs.
Yes.
You know, I mean, there was a reason for the warrant to begin with. So we don't want to talk about these things. So how about this? How about we don't even come to the table at all? How about we're just not there until they say, wait, where did all of our people go? And then they're going to come crawling back to us. That is the way.
That is exactly what's happening.
But don't talk about it. Be about it. Get off of these.
Exactly.
Get off of these.
See, that's what conservatives, that's a problem with conservatism. I'll put it a different way to make people understand it. If I was on the left and I was doing the things counter to the right, you'd be talking to a mega mogul, a multimillionaire mogul. I would be on every TV outlet. Fox would never fire me for saying something against the other side.
Yeah, look at Juan Williams. He still has a job. He's terrible. He's garbage.
Right. Oh, Juan is a whole other story. I could tell you some stories about him. But look, at the end of the day, we have to this thing we're calling cancel culture. If we give conservatives a soft place to land and more liberals who are really hiding out as conservatives know that, you know what, if I speak out, I can go over here. There's a job waiting for me. What the left wants you to believe is if you speak out, we're going to ruin you. We're going to dox you. We're going to ruin your life. You will never work again. Your life, as you know, it is over. You will have no friends. It's almost like trying to leave Scientology.
Your kids won't be safe at school.
Yeah. They will actually. I mean, there are people wanting to take your kids away because you voted for Trump.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Or because you don't want to wear a mask in the name of health and safety. They'll take them away. Child abuse. Oh.
Now you've really opened up a can of worms with me with these stupid masks, these mouth diapers.
Go for it.
I mean, it's insane. So look, all these things, when the 80 million voting, hardworking, taxpaying Americans, because we are the ones who keep this country afloat. If we decide we're going to migrate to here, I don't care whether it's a new network, a new social network, a new movie site, a music site, whatever, I promise you, Hollywood, all the left will come looking for us because they have to. And the Golden Globes and the NBA, which we started talking about in the first broadcast, is exactly how I know it will happen. Trust me, it's easy to do. As you say, are we going to do it? Are the people listening to your show going to actually move? And that's the real question.
Well, let me ask you from my perspective. Okay, so you're an influencer. I'm an influencer. So let's just have a conversation here. If you and I are fighting in a physical war, and I had this conversation with Dr. Ruby, if you and I are fighting in a physical war, bullets flying, we're in a foxhole, we're in some shithole country overseas, right, dying in piles of spent shell casings, we just lost our brothers here, we're fighting for the liberation and freedom of America, right? It's been going on for centuries. That's how the cost of freedom is death, and unfortunately, it's had to go on all over the place in order to preserve the liberties and freedom of America.
Right.
So if we're actually there and we're in a foxhole together, Kevin, and I say, well, man, I got to leave, and I pick up my gun, and I take off. You're going to go, wait a minute, Stu, where the hell are you going? I can't fight this battle alone. I can't fight here on the enemy's turf by myself, right?
Right.
Now, what happens if I leave Facebook? What happens if I leave Instagram, and I leave Twitter, and I leave YouTube? Aren't I giving up? Aren't I running away from the foxhole? Shouldn't we take the fight right to them? Continue pushing our content there as long as we can, because those are millions of eyes that are there. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. Yes, we leave them because we don't want to contribute to their bottom line anymore. And if we do that, we're only contributing to the perpetuation of this nonsense. But if I do leave them, then I'm leaving you in the foxhole, essentially. So how do we make sense of that?
Okay, so let's just talk about that for just a second. And I love this type of a discussion because we're doing these critical thinking seminars that we're going to be making available to college, to high school kids that are going into college and stuff. So this is a great example. So, Stu, what you did is you gave me a scenario of life and death, and then you put it into a scenario that isn't life and death. Me leaving Facebook is not life and death. You leaving a foxhole for me in the battle that you just described is life and death. I mean, that's brother to brother. And I would be like, where are you going, coward?
Yeah.
You know, you should be fighting. With respect to Facebook, it's a different story. I leave and I should be trying to get you to leave with me. So to use your foxhole analogy, this has been overrun. Either we leave or we both die, but I'm leaving because we're going to die. What you're saying to me leaving the foxhole is I'm going to go where I can continue to fight the battle. Kevin, if you stay in the foxhole, you're going to die. I predicted this 6 years ago. I was a management consultant to the largest companies in the world. I told everybody who would listen then, if you stay on Facebook, you're going to die. If you want to find an old high school buddy or high school sweetheart or something like that, Facebook's a great place. You want to make political commentary, it is not going to be for you. You want to run a business there, he's going to run a business model that makes you put money into that model. And he's not going to let you profit on an ideology he does not agree with. So where are we running to? We're running to a different battlefield, and we should be taking everybody with us. Now, I say this, you can stay on the battlefield, find your old buddies, your old girlfriends, whatever you want to do. Somebody you may have met, you're looking up some information. Look at what cops use Facebook for.
Right.
They find perps holding up guns and say, that's the same gun that was used in the robbery.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. You want to use it for that? Fantastic. You want to talk politics? Come over somewhere where, and if you're going to build a business model, are you going to build a business model with somebody that is antithetical to everything you believe and you think they're going to let you continue to build that model? It's insane to stay there. They're going to bomb the battlefield with 500-pound bombs, and you can't dig a hole deep enough to not feel the recoil. So get out of there. Stay for part of it, but go over here to do your other thing. And that's the beauty of what we're doing in the conservative movement, Stu, and you know this. We are like life in Jurassic Park. You can take away my lysine, but I'm going to figure out how to make life continue, because that's what we do as conservatives. We will continue. So what we've done is we've given ourselves alternatives, and we have to take advantage of the alternatives. And I know that there's going to be many excuses. Change is different, difficult.
Yeah, it is.
That's why they have change management experts. But we have to make that change. And out of the people that the Gabs and the Spreelys and the Liberty, all these different sites that have sprung up, who's going to rise? I don't know. Don't know, don't care. But I do know this. Whoever does it right is going to rise. I'll tell you this, Stu, think about it. We did not have one social media company at CPAC. I don't know if you were there, but there was not one company that represented social media that showed up there. If I was running a social media company, I'd have bucked up, I'd have borrowed whatever it took. I would have been there and I would have been telling to the world, we're here. And every person that walked by, come get on, come get signed up. I'd have CPAC's whole registration list and they would have signed up.
Yeah.
And everybody missed that opportunity. Who would have been talking about it? The media. Oh, there was a social media person there. Parlay showed up. They said, we're not going to be daunted. You know, we're undaunted. We are here to fight. Can you imagine if instead of Fox's big presence there, right next to him, because I was there when Bongino was doing an interview, was Parlay, and Bongino went right from there and said, hey, guys, we're never going to be taken down again. We're not on Amazon anymore. They can't do anything to us. We miss these opportunities because we're so busy trying to figure out why we want to stay on the battlefield.
Wow. Very interesting stuff. The KevinJacksonShow.com is where you can find Kevin Jackson. We appreciate you being here.
KevinJacksonNetwork.com.
Oh, I'm sorry, because I went to the KevinJacksonShow.com and it was there too. But the Kevin Jackson.
It is there. Yeah.
Okay.
But I want everybody to go to where everything is because
okay.
That's where we're putting it all.
Perfect. The KevinJacksonNetwork.com. Will you come back and join us again sometime soon?
Let's do it, Stu. I love it, man. Love the show.
Hang out for a second. I want to talk to you off the air here real quick before I let you go. I've got some other ideas. The powerful conversation will always continue as we continue here on Patriotically Correct. Coming up in a minute, you won't believe about the strike that I got again for being a racist.
That's me.
Racist is racist, Stu. How dare I? Broadcasting live from the Cortez Wealth Management Studios, my name is Stu Peters. Thanks a lot for being here today for Patriotically Correct. Before we go, I want to remind you to make sure to get over and visit Carlos Cortez at CortezWM.com for Cortez Wealth Management. That's CortezWM.com. Doing business with an America First fiduciary is extremely important for your financial future because we're talking about somebody who actually cares. We're talking about a God-fearing Christian. We're talking about a patriotic American. We're talking about a man who is a husband and a father who cares about the future of our Republic. We're talking about a patriotic person who embraces freedom and individual liberty. We're talking about somebody who salutes and hugs the flag at any given opportunity. We're talking about Carlos Cortez, the founder and CEO of the privately owned Cortez Wealth Management. This isn't some big conglomerate, folks. This isn't some big CCP-backed or Canadian-backed company. Not like these other banks. Not like these big, huge corporations that are all funded by the same big box stores that are funded by George Soros and the Rothschilds. We're talking about an America First, truly America First fiduciary. Call him 813-448-3446 or visit him online at CortezWM.com. And remember, until Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it. May they be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. Remember to fly low and avoid that radar. And listen, one day they're going to come for the car. And when they do, save the radar.